Join us now for the scripture reading. Reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians, 1, chapter verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And now also from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Chip. Heard a story this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting. A minister was going through a closet in their home, and he found this box. And he opened the box up, and he looked at it, and he saw half a dozen eggs and 1,000 $1 bills. And so he knew he didn't put it there, so he went and asked his wife, said, "What is this?" And she said, "Oh," she said, that's just a box I have." She said, "Whenever I hear a bad message, I put an egg in the box." And he thought, "Well, that's not too bad. That's only 6 bad messages, you know, over my career." She thought that was pretty good. He said, "What's the $1,000? The $1,001 bills in there for?" And she said, "Well, every time I get a dozen eggs, I sell them for $1. So, I'm going to start going through our closet. I have not done that, but I think I will start doing that.
He might be wealthy.
I could be. Appreciate that, Jim. Which is what the message is about today: appreciation. I entitled "I Am Appreciated and Saved," and when we're forgiven, we are totally different. We have so many things that are about to change in our lives that a transition comes that we really can't fathom what it is until we look back a few years back and think, "Man, that's the way I was, and now I'm different." What was it? Was that transition that took place? But it only takes place if we maintain fellowship with him. As Greg was talking about reading the Bible, and as we were talking with Nicole and Katie about praying every day, that's how we stay in fellowship with him. And Paul said in a verse that Chip just read that he gives thanks for their faith. And I thought about that and what it is to be appreciated and what it is to be, you know, thought about. And I remember recess of all things in grade school. Anybody remember recess? You know, you couldn't wait to get down there after. Would have figured that, Roger. That you couldn't wait after math class to get outside for recess, and you go out there, and we're all, you know, a bunch of kids gather around the softball diamond, and everybody's going to play softball, and the teacher's already picked the most popular two kids to pick two teams. And so they start picking each other. You can identify with this. The best players are picked first, and you're the last one left. And somebody picks you. And so you get to play the game. But does anybody really appreciate that talent? Does anybody really appreciate what's there? Nobody really wanted you. But somebody had to take him. Somebody had to take us. I'm glad God doesn't look at it that way. That there's a first and a last. Because there really isn't. There are no superstar baseball players in God's kingdom. There will be baseball players in God's kingdom, but they're going to be just like us. They're going to be playing baseball just like we are. And when I thought about that, I thought about the words to the lyrics of this song. It's a Kris Kristofferson song, and you're familiar with it. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known? Why me, Lord? What did I ever do that was worth love from you and the kindness you've shown? And there was nothing we had to do other than say yes. I mentioned last week we talked about predestination and the idea of predestination and the fact that when God created man and created the world, he predestined or ordained that we would all be his children, that we would all be in the kingdom of heaven. And so there are no first and last. We are all equal with him. Luke wrote, he said in chapter 23, verse 35, he says, now the people stood by watching, but even the rulers ridiculed and sneered at him, or at Jesus, saying, he saved others from death. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, his chosen one. And so as far as the Jews that day, who were the ones that crucified Jesus, they were being critical of him and they didn't appreciate him. And then, Luke wrote, in Christ before the foundation of the world, he selected us. Chose us. Us is everyone. And so the question I thought about, well, why did he do that? And the answer's found also in Scripture. It says, so that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be sons in Christ. And so I was thinking this week, there's got to be something in all of the stuff that Paul wrote that is a list of everything that God did for the Christian. And so there's about seven or eight things. He adopted us into his family. We are now his children. We are accepted by God in Christ. We come to God through his son, Jesus Christ. We are redeemed from slavery, redeemed from sin. We are forgiven. We now can understand what the Bible says. Maybe not the King James, but we can the New Living Translation, or, you know, something that's in English that we can read it and we can understand what he's saying. We're given an eternal inheritance. Once we accept that Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance with him that will live forever. We're sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that secures our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that whole idea of appreciation, I read this story, and it was by a guy by the name of Patrick Stump. I had no idea who Patrick Stump was, but apparently he was the lead singer of a group called Fall Out Boy. Never heard of them. Which only means one thing. I never listened to their music. But I was looking at that, and he said on his blog that he was thinking about leaving the music industry, and he entitled that blog, "We Liked You Better Fat, Confessions of a Pariah." And he shared about his failure in the first solo that he had put out, and he shared about the criticism that he had gotten from the last album put out by Fall Out Group, and his fans were mocking him, were yelling him, were sending him nasty letters and sending him all kinds of stuff. And he wrote, he said, "The reality for a certain number of people, I hate all I've done, all I ever will do, and all I ever had. All I ever had was the capacity to do, was worth a damn, was a record. I began recording when I was 18 years old. The truth is, wherever and whoever I am, I will never be the kid from Take This to the Grave," and that must have been a popular song with him. "And I'm deeply sorry." He says, "I can't be. I truly am sorry." No irony meant, no sarcasm meant. He said, "I hate feeling like the awkward adult husk of a once cute child actor." And the thought that went through my mind is, no matter how much fame, no matter how popular we are, no matter who we are in this world, we all like to be appreciated. And we all like someone to come up and say, "Thanks. I appreciate what you've done." And we were talking in class this morning, and Jim said something. I think I said, "I appreciate it." I said, "That's what the message is about." Then he suggested I go out and write a new message. No, not really, but we didn't do that. But, you know, we talk about being appreciated, and we talk about being liked. And there's a couple questions that come to mind when we thought that, and when we think about that. And those are two questions. Are: do we believe what the world says about us? That I'm popular, that I'm good looking, that I have talent, that I can, you know, I can achieve all things, that I'm a success if I'm a CEO of a company? Or do we accept what God says about us? That we are created in His image. We are created unique. We are created individual. We are created in His image for a purpose. And so, unfortunately, though, we live in a world that doesn't appreciate anything, doesn't appreciate much of anything. If you don't believe me, next time your phone rings and it says potential spam, which I'm thankful mine does, sometimes I play with the phone callers, and they're trying to sell me something that I don't need. I don't know how many times I could have bought a back brace and a knee brace in just this past week. I don't appreciate that. I mean, I understand they need to make, you know, they're trying to make a living and they're trying to get my insurance to pay something. I understand that. Or wait till the second call you get, and that's from someone that's just interested in what you know, or interested in what you can tell them about somebody else. Only interested in finding the next piece of gossip or the next bit of information. Or they want to call you and tell you, "Man, that was one of the worst messages I ever heard. Did you hear that special? When's he going to learn to pray for people's needs? He didn't have a suit on again today." Amen. But we'll get those calls. Or you'll get those calls. I'm sure you're not making them. But we'll get them. All advertisers want to do is sell us something, and all somebody wants to do is find out something about us. People today can be extremely rude and crude. I'm just about to go on another Facebook hiatus for lots of reasons. Number one, it takes too much time. And number two, I'm tired of the criticism. I'm tired of seeing Maxine Waters say it's okay to criticize the president. Maxine Waters never said it's okay to pray for the president. That's ridiculous. I am tired of seeing and hearing how rude and crude people can be, and they don't even appreciate living in a free country. Living in the country that we live in, They don't appreciate it. They think they can burn the flag. Well, that might be their right. But take your right somewhere else. I just, you know, and every time you turn around, you see someone else criticizing the president, criticizing government, criticizing state and local government. Folks, we need to pray for people and not criticize them. Because when you can't criticize and pray at the same time. It's a funny thing, but God gives us the ability to do one thing at a time. Now, I know some people talk about what's that you can do multiple things, multitask. I was never good at it because I can't say yes and shake my head no. I would challenge you after church to try that. But as a Christian, Paul wrote in Ephesians 11 times, he says, I give thanks or we give thanks. He's showing appreciation to God, showing appreciation for what Jesus did. And so I think we need to exchange our grumbling and gossip for praying. James 5:9, Jude 1:16-19, and 1 Peter 4:9 all say it's a sin to grumble. It's a sin to complain. And Jesus faced this when he was before the crowds that want to kill him, and no one said, appreciate him. What were they saying? Crucify him. Kill him. We don't appreciate anything he's done. He's done all these miracles. We don't appreciate it. Even Mary said, if you'd have been here sooner, Jesus, Lazarus wouldn't have died. She didn't understand resurrection from healing. What do we do when we feel unappreciated? If you do, go tell somebody you appreciate them. You appreciate something they do, and I guarantee you, you will feel appreciated for something. No matter what it is. That's the way that you overcome that. As you give, strange as it sounds, as you give what you need. Appreciated people are encouraging people. They're people that build up strength with people. They help people. Let people know what they mean in your lives. I have a rock, and I know a couple other people in here has a, it's not really a rock, it's a stone that was given to me by someone here that, and I still carry it. They said, I appreciate you. That means something. It means something to me. Encouraging people are appreciated people. Thank people for what they do for us. Let them know. Every ad council meeting, I think I in my prayers, Lord, I thank you for lifting up this leadership team here. It's a tremendous team. They do a tremendous job. So as we think about concluding, as I said, the message is entitled, I Am Appreciated and Saved. Our real appreciation comes from being forgiven. And every morning when our feet hit the floor, it ought to be, thank you, Lord. I appreciate another day that you've given to me. I appreciate you for giving it to me. What can I do for you today? Let me know. Let me do something for the kingdom today. Don't make it all about me. Make it about the kingdom. Appreciate our friends. Appreciate our coworkers. Appreciate our government. Appreciate our president. Appreciate people we go to church with. Appreciate our spouses. Appreciate our children, our grandchildren. I appreciate the opportunity to baptize Cain today. I would appreciate it more if I could take him home with me for a couple hours. But what's important? And so this week I challenge you. Create two bank accounts. One is an account of appreciation. And make deposits in that account of appreciation. And then set up an account, set up another account, set up an account of criticism. And then you have to make withdrawals from that one because you can't deposit into there. And then at the end of the week, look and see if you've got more deposits than you've got withdrawals, and you'll not be overdrawn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your gift of love, your gift of life, your gift of joy and peace that you give to us, Lord, and we appreciate each and everything that you do for your guidance, for your leadership, Lord, for life itself. We thank you for it. And so, Lord, as we go out this week, help us not to be overdrawn, but to have an abundance in our account of appreciation. In Jesus' name we pray.